This program was produced by and first broadcast on Radio Hawke's Bay, your community access media station. Thanks to New Zealand On Air for making this type of programming possible.
The information provided or any opinions expressed in this show are of a general nature only and should not be construed or relied on as a recommendation to invest in a financial product or class of financial products. You should seek financial advice specific to your circumstances from a financial advisor before making any financial decisions. A disclosure statement can be obtained free of charge.
You are listening to Radio Hawke's Bay. This is a program called Candy View, and it's my pleasure, as always, to have in the studio Bruce Strings from the Stewart Group in Hastings. How are you going, Bruce?
Fantastic, thanks. Not liking the cold weather so much, but enjoying the snow on the hills.
You can sort of feel spring is in the air, and before you know it, we'll be complaining that it's too hot.
Yeah, but I must say, Ken, to get out in about 20 degrees in the weekend, that was nice.
It was marvellous, wasn't it? Mm. All right, now, before we get into today's topic, which is all about bricks, and I hadn't heard about it until you sent me the notes for it, just remind our listeners, Stewart Group, what are you guys all about?
Well, we're fiduciary financial advisors. We look after people's wealth, including KiwiSavers and financial planning, risk, health insurance, you name it. We look at that whole package.
And anyone can come and visit you, can't they?
Yep.
You're there for everyone.
Yeah, we're open for a discovery meeting, as I call it, which is really no obligation, no cost, just a quick chat and see if we're a good fit for each other.
Absolutely right, and from my own personal point of view, I can recommend the Stewart Group because you guys gave me some great advice a few years ago, which I've never regretted taking.
That's fantastic, Ken. Okay. Thank you.
Now, tell us about bricks. What is bricks?
So bricks is a part of our portfolios in the emerging market sector. So when you look at your KiwiSaver, if it's diverse, you'll find them in there and very much inside wealth management portfolios as well. So BRICS stands for Brazil, Russia, though most people rightly avoid it, India, China, and South Africa. And it's looking to grow as well, its membership. So
what will that mean to, for instance, an investor? You say, we've got BRICS. What does that mean? I mean, are we going to invest in those countries?
Yes, and to an appropriate extent, and typically we might have a small percentage in there, and I did keep some records here of what we were looking at in our portfolio of about 10%, give or take, depending on how it's made up. And it's important because these little economies, they can be little powerhouses. One of them, which is not BRICS country, but is Egypt, is one of those developing countries. And
yes,
they've industrialized some of their economy and outstanding performance, really, because of that, when you consider where they've come from. Yeah.
And one of the lines in your notes that you sent through sort of caught my attention, and it was the idea about BRICS is to reduce reliance on the US dollar. Now, I know that you're a pretty clever bloke, and I wonder, why is the world's economy, briefly, based around the US dollar? I mean, why is it as a benchmark?
Well, way back we used to, have all our faith in gold, and they changed it so that it was the US dollar backed by gold, that sort of thing. It's a touch point we can all work with and stable. Being stable is important, and the willingness of people to accept a currency.
Yeah,
Zimbabwean dollars is not the way to go.
And why isn't our dollar worth what their dollar is? I mean, why can't you have a universal currency?
Well, it would be interesting because currency is a way of adjusting for value for the work we do, and sometimes our distance can be not as competitive.
Yes.
So our currency can take account for that and adjusting the costs so we become competitive. And look, it can work in our favour, when our currency weakens against other currencies like the US dollar, we tend to get more New Zealand dollars to spend within New Zealand. The downside of that is that importing things gets more costly.
Can currencies be part of your diverse portfolio?
They certainly are. We tend to hedge some of the currency to New Zealand dollars because we don't want volatility, for example, in the fixed portion, the bonds and such, because there's very little capital gain movement. Emerging markets, strangely enough, we don't hedge that to the New Zealand dollar because the currency side of things does tend to work in our favour. For the stocks, because our portfolios are very diverse, we tend to hedge about half of the fund because, you know, you think of it, sometimes a currency change could wipe out all of your returns.
Absolutely right. Tell us about de-dollarization.
Well, de-dollarization is about looking to find another way of exchanging your products and services and receiving value for that. And independence, if you like, from a third party can have some advantages. I haven't delved deeply into that. But if you can trade directly and it's productive for your two economies or three economies, then why not have a go at doing that?
Sort of like bartering in a way.
Yeah. It removes, I guess, political interference. You know, if you're dealing in a currency that dominates the world, if you can make that currency move in a certain way, you could get some certain economic advantage, I guess. Yeah.
Is BRICS a real thing at the moment, or is it something that they're trying to get going?
Well, it's been a real thing for a while. In our article, there's a visual capitalist diagram which I'd seen there. And when you look at that, you know, Brazil, South Africa, India, China and Russia is a big part of the globe. Mm. And they have been part of this for a while. And then you look at new members that are coming or looking to come in, and you can see, you know, companies like Egypt, countries like Egypt, Saudi Arabia, Iran, not so good, UAE, and Argentina. And then we look further afield, there are many other countries that are saying, hey, we want to be part of this because how we make our dollar and how we receive goods that we don't produce is via trade. And if you can provide a strong trading block that has similarities and help each other grow, that has to be a good thing for those countries.
Is that mix of countries that's involved in the BRICS expansion at the moment, is that, because I noticed the US is not in there, Britain's not in there, New Zealand's not in there, Australia's not in there. Why is that?
Well, they tend to have an existing trade, and it's quite dominant. And this is a case of other countries looking to expand their own trade separately without the dominance of other countries. We all look after our own interests.
Yes.
We, as individuals, do that first, whether we like it or not. You know.
Is there room in there, do you think, for expansion to include all those countries? Will that happen in the long term, do you think?
I'm not too sure. I haven't really thought about that, but I think it's definitely a possibility. I mean, Indonesia and many of those other countries out there, they are looking for bigger markets to grow.
Yeah. Does that mean some of those markets might be closed off to people who aren't in the BRICS family?
Not so closed off, because countries are always open to trade. It's just there might be preferences for your trade bloc partners.
Yeah.
But that happens today with existing trade blocks.
So someone coming along to the student group and saying, hey, look, I've heard about BRICS. I want to get in on it. What would your advice be to you?
My advice is we're not going to give you a whole portfolio of BRICS because it's going to be a very violent ride, quite volatile, because they tend to be a lot more volatile economies. They do have a certain part in a portfolio because they do provide an element of growth. But putting that right mix in there is appropriate. We don't want to over egg it. Yes.
So pros and cons, as you always suggest, it's all about diversification. So have a bit of BRICS and have a bit of...
Yep, that's true. And the other thing I'll comment on is that, you know, when you look at these economies, some of them don't have the best reputation. You know, if you're looking at your ESG, your environmental, socially responsible and good governance ethics. So you can actually get emerging markets with that filter put across it. So, for example, our experience we had with our portfolio emerging markets that had that filter across it was that when Russia went into the Ukraine, we weren't holding anything in Russia. And the effect was that for people who were holding emerging markets, whole of market is roughly 2% of that was in Russia. So that 2% all of a sudden overnight or over the week or two became zero.
Ouch.
So our clients, I'd like to say through good planning, but I think through good ethics and good luck, managed to not be part of that. Yeah.
As far as growth goes with places like BRICS, I mean, as a financial consultant, would you say to someone, hey, if BRICS is still around in a year's time, two years' time, does it become better and better as an investment suggestion?
It is always going to be a consistent part of a portfolio, not necessarily put more in now or less in now. It all has to be part of the mix. And a person's tolerance for risk or volatility is important because we don't like waking up in the morning and seeing 25% of our portfolio gone, even though we do have faith that it will come back. So if you add a little bit in, you know, the from point A to B longer term, you get a better return. But the ride is a lot rougher. If you went into some other economies that are a lot more calmer, then you would find you point A to B, point B would be a slightly lesser return, but it may not be as volatile a ride.
Good on you, Bruce. That's, we've learned a little bit more about BRICS. So if we want some sound financial advice and we want to talk to you in this, about this in particular, how do we get hold of the Stuart Group?
You can get hold of us via our website, pop into our offices in Karamu Road, or even give us a call on our 0800 number. We're more than happy to have that chat. And, you know, that first hour discovery meeting, we can, along with the clients, decide whether we're a good fit for each other.
The information provided or any opinions expressed in this show are of a general nature only and should not be construed or relied on as a recommendation to invest in a financial product or class of financial products. You should seek financial advice specific to your circumstances from a financial advisor before making any financial decisions. A disclosure statement can be obtained free of charge.